Good day and welcome. I'm Paul Levoy, Editor-in-Chief of Ascend Magazine.
And I'm Sarah Riven, Government Affairs Director at Dentia.
And this is Week in Brief, your weekly roundup of the biggest news in licensure, regulation, and digital government. Today we'll be discussing the top stories for the week of April 17th, including a new addition to the multi-state counseling compact, controversy around nurse licensure in two states, and new paths for professional licensing in Utah.
Paul, I hear the Interstate Counseling Compact has a new addition. What can you tell us about that?
That's right. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has signed her state's counseling compact legislation into law, so it will allow professional counselors licensed and residing in a compact member state to practice in other compact member states without the need for multiple licenses.
How widely adopted is this compact?
To date, including Kansas, it has been passed by legislatures in 21 states like Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, and a number of others. It was funded and created by the American Counseling Association and finalized at about the tail end of 2020. So it's actually a fairly recent development. Additionally, the Counseling Compact has been introduced in another 22 states this legislative session. So we could be seeing pretty wide expansion of the Counseling Compact coast to coast.
What sort of challenges brought Kansas to join the other states in this compact?
Well, as you know, these compacts enable licensed professionals to move seamlessly between states through an agreement among the member states to recognize the other state's license. Before the compact, counselors met many challenges transferring their licenses from one state or jurisdiction to another, and that's in part because of the independent nature of jurisdictional licensing rules and regulations. Old rules had very little consistency regarding the requirements for licensure, and these inconsistent requirements made it hard to transfer a license. Now, if I'm a counselor and I've been licensed in one of the member states, I'm free to work in any of the other member states with comparative ease. Sarah, moving on to another more widely known interstate agreement, the Nurse Licensure Compact, it seems the bill has encountered some controversy. So what's happening there?
Yeah, there's new controversy around Nevada's consideration of whether to join the Nurse Licensure Compact, or NLC. Assembly Bill 108 would enter Nevada into the compact, which enables registered nurses to practice across state lines, similar to the compact you were just discussing. So the bill was heard in the Assembly Committee on Commerce and Labor on Friday, April 17th, but the committee actually took no action. This Nurse Licensure Compact has been operational for more than two decades, so pretty long-standing, and 37 states currently participate, with two more having passed legislation awaiting implementation. Among Nevada's neighbors, Arizona, Utah, and Idaho are already in the compact, while California and Oregon are not.
Can you tell us a bit more about who is supporting and who is opposing this measure?
The compact was established to enable nurses licensed by their state of residency to practice in other participating states, as you've discussed when it comes to what interstate compacts entail. Nurses can opt into multi-state licensure without having to apply for a second license. Proponents of the compact say it allows hospitals and other facilities to easily bring in additional nurses during a time of emergency. Democratic Assembly Majority Leader Sandra Howard-Gee, who presented the bill in committee, said, quote, "Nevada should make it possible for nurses to come here in our times of need, and also for Nevada nurses to help in other states to meet needs as they arise." Many supporters have referenced Nevada's extensive nursing shortage, and Howard-Gee said the state needs to recruit more than 5,000 registered nurses just to meet the national average. Now, it's important to note that the Interstate Commission of Nurse Licensure Compact Administrators, which regulates the compact, says it does not purport to alleviate a state nursing shortage through the compact. That's not its intended purpose. Rather, they say the NLC is intended to enable nurse mobility during extreme times of shortage. Supporters for the measure in Nevada include the Nevada Hospital Association and the Nevada Nurses Association. Now, the main opposition is coming from labor unions affiliated with the AFL-CIO. They say joining the compact benefits hospitals over workers, undermining collective bargaining, and fails to address bigger problems like patient-to-nurse ratios. Grace Vergara-Marital, executive director of SEIU 1107, which represents more than 8,000 nurses and healthcare workers in Nevada, called out one of the major hospital systems that supports joining the compact. Quote, when hospitals like HCA are bringing in $5.6 billion with a B in profits yearly, there is no reason HCA should be staffing at 34% below the national average. Other advocates point to conditions for nurses as a key reason for the shortage, and they worry the compact would enable hospitals to bring in labor from other states in the event of a labor dispute or strike.
What's next for Nevada?
Similar to the discussion around nurse licensure compacts, a couple of other bills are under consideration in Nevada at the time. Assembly Bill 158 would have Nevada join an EMS compact. This measure has already passed out of the Assembly Commerce Committee. Senate Bill 97 would have Nevada join a physical therapist compact, and Senate Bill 442 would have Nevada join a teacher's compact, but neither Senate bill has advanced.
I understand Washington is also looking at similar measures to address nursing staffing shortages. What's going on there?
So by contrast with Nevada, Washington is kind of trying to address all of these issues. On April 6th, the legislature passed two bills related to nursing that are awaiting signature by Governor Inslee. The first bill in Washington that passed is a compromise between nurses and hospitals to regulate staffing standards. The bill does not set specific staff-patient ratios in state law, but it does require hospitals to create staffing plans and to follow them. Nurse unions representatives say this bill would make staffing plans more enforceable, which would make hospitals a more sustainable place to work for nurses. The Washington State Hospital Association is amenable to this legislation since it leaves final control of staffing up to those individual hospitals. The bill requires hospitals to create a staffing plan and to abide by it. So beginning in 2027, hospitals could face penalties up to $10,000 for every 30 days they fail to submit a plan to the state hospital regulator. If they don't follow the plan, they could face fines up to $50,000 for every 30 days out of compliance. And it's important to note, small and rural hospitals are exempt. This bill passed out of the House, and the House also voted 94-4 to join the Nurse Licensure Compact, which Nevada is still discussing. Paul, speaking of licensing mobility, clearly a bit of a theme this week, you have news out of Utah.
That's right. So in a ceremonial signing at this new Utah Policy Innovation Lab, the state governor, Spencer Cox, signed a number of pieces of legislation, including one that amends the state's reciprocal licensing rules. Now, it was held at the Utah Policy Innovation Lab because it's a working space for higher education institutions and policy experts in downtown Salt Lake City, and it's a gesture because it's intended to promote innovation throughout the state. The lab recently partnered with the M.C. Gardner Policy Institute to promote a data-driven approach in its work on state policy. And among the bills signed there was SB 35, or the Reciprocal Professional Licensing Amendments Bill.
So what exactly does the legislation do?
The legislation streamlines the licensing process for professionals coming from other jurisdictions so that they may continue working in their field without additional accreditation. So in some ways, the same old story that we hear with a lot of these licensure compacts. Under this bill, these professionals only need to contact the Utah Division of Professional Licensing for the privileged practice. SB 35 creates a path for people coming from other countries or other states to continue working in that field in which they're already licensed by obtaining certification or licensing through the Utah Division of Professional Licensing. As Margaret Bussey, executive director of the Utah Department of Commerce, who you might remember was featured on the SN Radio podcast a couple of months ago, as she explained, doctors and nurses and cosmetologists and construction workers and all of those kinds of folk, when people come in from foreign countries, they often cannot work in their chosen profession, in that profession that they've been credentialed for from the previous country. And it's a sentiment that Governor Cox echoed when he said too many states are making it harder for those most in need, and said that we are changing that here in Utah and setting the standard for the nation. Well, that's all we have for you this week. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sarah. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to sign up for Ascend Magazine's Week in Brief. The link is in the show notes. And please subscribe to Ascend Radio.